Worshiping God is the most important thing that any of us can do. And Jesus Christ, he said that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And he warns that some worship God in vain because their practices, they're rooted in mankind's traditions and not biblical truth. And he labels these things as unacceptable, hypocritical, saying this: they draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Our world is filled with traditions, with celebrations, with holidays. And given the biblical statements that I just stated, these instructions, does it matter which days we observe? I think it's clear to we would all say yes, it does matter. Now, much of what I'm going to talk about today comes from this booklet, Holiday or Holy Days. Does it matter? Now, we know a lot about Christmas and Easter, right? We hear about it a lot. And I talk to my kids and the teens. Some of this comes from them. They always have great ideas on sermon topics. So anyone who's looking for a sermon topic, it's always good to go to them, and they have good ideas. So we know we hear about Christmas and Easter a lot. What about all the rest of the days? What about all the rest of them? Can we keep those? Well, it's really not a yes or no answer. That's something that we need to look at. We need to apply God's ways and his word to it. And what we do with our life. Do we celebrate these days or not? So we're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to look at examples presented in the past. And it should give us some direction on what do we do with these days that come up. Because there are a lot of them. It's not just Christmas and Easter. So my first point today, and something we need to start with, is a base. We need to start with the foundation. That is that we are commanded to observe some days. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23. This was actually referenced in the sermonette and the booklet that was referenced in the sermonette. The Holy Day Plan is a great resource if anyone's ever looking for more information. But in Leviticus 23, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." God's saying, these are my feasts. They're going to be holy convocations. It goes in on verse 3. It says, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath, of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And then in verse 4, it goes into Passover and unleavened bread. It says, these are feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So that's very, very specific. God's saying, these are my feasts, and they're to be done at appointed times. And it's something that we follow in the church today. Just for reference, this is something that was brought up in a sermon not too long ago. It was done also by the New Testament church, right? These same holy days that God pronounced here, and we read them in Leviticus 23, were done by the New Testament church and celebrated and then as well. I'm not going to go through all these scriptures. You can write some down if you would like, or you can look it up in that God's Holy Day Plan also is where this slide came from, which was an additional example to us to keep these days. I'll make a one point. There's a star on trumpets. For anyone who wondering why that is the up there it says observed by Jesus Christ and the apostles in the New Testament. Trumpets is the only one that doesn't have an example of somebody actually keeping that day. But there are examples of the day and what it means. So, little trivia there if you're ever asked. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4. We're going to look at Israel and the example they were for us and some of the issues that they ran into. It sets a foundation for what we're going to continue on and discuss about all these holidays in our society. So Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and you may go and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you." And then he says something very important. It says, "Do not add to what I command you to do, and what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." It's very direct, very pointed statement. Not to change. Don't change these things. These days were given, and there was direct instruction not to change them, which we follow today. Let's turn over to 1 Kings 12. I'm going to read about this story. This was actually brought up in Mr. McKeon's sermon about the history of the church. And we'll see what happened to Israel. So in 1 Kings 12 and verse 32, this is a story about Jeroboam. It was the tribes were ruled by Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Israel was split, and this is Jeroboam, Israel. It says, he, talking about Jeroboam, this is in 1 Kings 12, 32, instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah. So this is the 15th day of the 8th month, and what was done is Feast of Tabernacles was on the 15th day of the 7th month. So Jeroboam did this, and it was a way to influence people and start something in his part of Israel. So he did this, and they offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing the calves that he had made. So he brought in other influence as well. And at Bethel, he also installed priests at the high places he had made on the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing. He offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Bethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings. So he changed the Feast of Tabernacles. If you go down to verse 33, it says, "Even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways, but once more appointed priests for the high places from all sorts of people." So it wasn't following some of the rules on the priests as well. And it was about how these days were kept, following God's ways. It said, "Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated for the high places. This was the sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall and to its destruction from the face of the earth." So this was serious. This was a serious thing. They were changing the way God said to keep the holy days, what God had set up. It was unacceptable to God, and it said they were destroyed from the face of the earth for it. So we are commanded to still keep these days. And it's a true blessing to keep these feasts. And it's not something we want to change. So we have these days. We're starting with this first point that we are commanded to keep some days. It's very important to remember as we go through and talk about some other days in our society. All right, that brings us to the next point. Are some days unacceptable to celebrate? We heard about changing the feast days. That was unacceptable. But what about other days? Making up days. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 12. Going back to Deuteronomy 12, verse 1. Now, this is back to Israel. They're going to the promised land. They're going to cross the Jordan River. Moses is going to die. He learns that here. And this is what's said before they are given this promise, before God moves them into the promised land. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. And then verse 4, it says, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. So there were other holidays in the places they were going. God is very specific. You will not worship me with these things. In verse 5, it says what to do. It says, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. There you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. So there were right days and wrong days. There were ways to have celebrations, to have feasts, to have holy days, clearly unacceptable days as well. Skip on down to verse 28. There's a warning. Deuteronomy 12, 28, it says, be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of your Lord God. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. It says, and there's a warning, but when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. It says, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. In verse 32, it says, it repeats again, you shall do all that I command you. Do not add or to it or take away from it. So there's a warning, right? They're going into this land. There's other traditions. There's other holidays. God's saying, remember his holy days and be careful about these other influences. And if you go over to Deuteronomy 31, we can see that it was bound to fail. It was bound that they would be tempted, that they would bring these things into their life. They'd be influenced by this. Deuteronomy 31, verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the god of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me, and they will break my covenant, which I have made with them. So they'll go do these other things, and they'll forget about God, is what it's saying. It says, then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day. I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us. And surely I will hide my face in that day, because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. So it's very serious. And then we went into Kings, where we saw that a big part of Israel was destroyed. It was wiped off the earth. The tribes were scattered and taken. And it continued. This issue continued on. In Romans 12, verse 1, there's a warning there as well. I can just read it to you quickly. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. And that's the warning. Do not be conformed. There's things going on out there that influence us, that can influence us in a way that is unacceptable to God. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is true and right, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And these things apply to us today very much, just as much as they did when it was written to Israel. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. It's very easy for us to say this happened to these ancient people way in the past. How could they have been influenced like this? This is important thing to understand in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank that of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And it says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things happened. These things became our examples. It says, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So it's very important that to know that what happened in the past, it applies to us today. And it's a warning. It says, and do not become idolaters as some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They had a party. They were celebrating. It says, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples for us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And then this last line says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, which is the warning. It's saying pay attention to this. It affected these people. It can affect us too. All right, we're going to get into some of these holidays and look at them. We have this foundation made. Clearly, it's important to keep some days, and some days we should not keep. Right, we can look at these two briefly. We're not going to go in depth. And it'll give us a little direction on the rest of these days we're going to look at as well. Now, these slides up here, I don't know if everyone can see them, but we have a Christmas slide and an Easter picture as well. We can look at it and see some things, right? Is it religious? Well, there's a cross up there. There's a star. Are there other religions mixed in? It's easy to see, right? There's other things going on. You can see eggs, rabbits, Santa Claus. There's these other non-Christian things woven in there. It's simple. This is a Google search. These images that I have today are nothing special. You search Google and look at the picture that comes up, a Christmas picture, and this is what you get. So it's not hard to see some of these things. You can see where the influence is there, some non-biblical influences. Quickly, with Christmas, right? It's the, you might hear that's the, from the world or people celebrating, it's a celebration of Jesus Christ being born. Clearly, most people at this point know that is untrue. Even people not in our church, when I talk to them about it, know that is not true. But with Christmas, they use greenery. It's about the solstice. It honored the sun god and was changed by Christian teaching at the time, Catholics, missionaries, to take in observing and worshiping Christ at this time, the Son of God, as opposed to the sun itself. And these things were woven together. The same with Easter. It's commonly said it's associated with the resurrection of Christ, but it's steeped in paganism and these other religions. The name itself comes from a goddess. Goddess of love and fertility. And these symbols relate right back to that, right? Eggs, rabbits, these things that we know and we've been taught. So some of these things that have been woven into our society, they're believed by many people. And it's paganism, it's these outside religions. It's the same thing that happened back with Israel, back in that example to us, warning us to do. And it can seem innocent, right? Seem innocent. What's wrong with some candy, some egg hunts, right? These kind of things, getting together with family. But it's mixing these religions, something God very clearly said not to do. Today we're not focusing on these two holidays, but we're going to look at some others. We can use the same understanding that we have of these days for some other holidays that we will look at. Brings us to the next question. Is it acceptable to celebrate any other day? Any other day. We know some are clearly wrong. So let's look at this and try to answer this question, using the examples that we've already have and God's word here. Let's turn over to Esther 9. So in Esther, it's the story of Queen Esther. You have Mordecai, and there's Haman, who's the bad guy in the story. If you have not read Esther, it's a great story. But the Jews are going to be destroyed. Haman's leading this situation. And the Jews are going to be destroyed. And God intervenes. Queen Esther goes to the king, asks for this meal to be made. And Haman's plan is discovered. And the Jews end up actually coming out ahead and destroying Haman and the plot to destroy the Jews. So in Esther 9, in verse 27, so after this happens, it says, "The Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them." And this is talking about a celebration of the day Purim. It says that without fail, they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed times. That they should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, which is an important point there, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. So we have a celebration, a feast set up here. It's a holiday, you might say. And there's many articles actually on UCG.org about this day. And I'll just read part of that from here. It says, Purim is a celebration of God's deliverance of the Jews during the time of Queen Esther and Mordecai. Purim is not a celebration commanded by God. It's important to know. It says the Jews set it up as a memorial in memory. It is a day of thankfulness established by the Jews themselves. And along similar lines in the United States, we have days of memorial, of thanks, which we'll get to in a little bit. Many Jews continue to observe Purim to this day. In fact, I'm going to go to the next slide. We've got a couple pictures here of things associated with Purim, and we're going to get to Hanukkah in just a minute. Continuing in this article from UCG.org, it says, it's not wrong to observe Purim, but God does not command us to observe it either. The days God commands us to observe are listed in Leviticus 23, which we went through earlier, the Sabbath and the holy days. There's also in John, you don't need to turn there, but John 5, verse 1, there's Jesus is there, and it says that it was after the feast of the Jews. There's some potential that's referring to Purim in John 5, verse 1, but there is some differences between the scholars, the Bible scholars, on that. The next one, and this is one that we hear about as well. Hanukkah. Let's turn over to John 10. John 10 and verse 22. It says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. When is Hanukkah? It's in the winter, right? This is talking about that, about Hanukkah. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him, and they started talking to Jesus. So Jesus Christ was there. Okay, I'm not saying that Jesus Christ was celebrating it. That would be a stretch. But it was certainly he was there. It is mentioned in the Bible as a feast that was being kept. Again, from UCG.org, it says, Hanukkah celebrates the rededication of the Jerusalem temple after its defilement by the Syrian invader Antiochus Epiphanes. And it was created by the Jews as a memorial. It's still thanking God, right? But it was a memorial created by the Jews for something that had happened. So these two holidays, or feasts, as they're called in the Bible here, neither of them originated within paganism, but they're not commanded by God. So there are some days that we can keep that are acceptable to God, that are not the holy days. Because they're not replacing those holy days. They're not substituting another religion for what God has set up. Now, while neither one of these originated in paganism, I'm not suggesting by any means to go out and start celebrating Hanukkah or Purim. If you look at these slides here, just like I mentioned with the other slides, you can look at what's going on here. And I don't know how these two holidays are celebrated specifically today, but I would warn of influences that have come over time. You see things up here, there's stars, There's certain cakes. There's a mask on the Purim slide. Party poppers. Really use caution with these things. So my point is not to keep Hanukkah and Purim. My point is that there are some days that have been created by man that are okay to keep. And there's a question to ask with this. Right? Does it change what God commands, and does it bring false religious teachings and traditions into our life? Very important. Let's turn over to Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse 5. It says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? So he's asking, why don't they do the traditions? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. It's very important to understand, right? We don't want to put aside what God said and keep other things instead. In verse 9, he said, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition and So we do not want to place importance on the any day over what God has commanded us to do. Okay. So we've established that some days we need to keep, some days we should not keep, and there's some days that could potentially be okay to keep, right? That men have created. So what about the other days? There are hundreds of celebrations of holidays in the world. We're actually going to go through a few, if we have time, some of our bigger ones in the United States, and quickly look at them and see if we can apply some of this to them. But today, April 17th, if you look up what are holidays for today, there's many, actually. Today is National Crawfish Day, so we probably shouldn't celebrate that one. It's International Bat Appreciation Day, National Cheeseball Day. We could potentially enjoy that after services. National Ellis Island Family History Day, National Record Store Day, National Auctioneers Day, and finally today, April 17th, is National Haiku Poetry Day. So I haven't had any poetry lessons since high school, so I looked one up for today. This is by Katsushika Hosokai. So here it is. I write, erase, rewrite, erase again, and then a poppy blooms. I have no idea what that means, okay? But it's a haiku. If I was back in high school, I'd probably have to write a report on it and figure out what it means. So there's a lot, right? And some of these days are ridiculous. You can petition, actually, to have some days recognized and really are meaningless. But there are some that are more. Right? Some that people do more than others. So we're going to go through some of these days and ask the question that we apply to the other days. Does it change what God commands? Does it change what God commands as far as the holy days? Or does it bring in false religious teachings or traditions? We're going to start easy. We're going to start at the beginning of the year and work through some of these. How about this one? Valentine's Day. Simple, right? We've got some other kind of little god going on there, right? The Cupid. It's clearly bringing in other religions. A Google search, this is from NPR.com. It says about Valentine's Day. It's the day when people show their affection for another person or people by sending cards, flowers, chocolates with messages of love. What could be wrong with that, right? But it's bringing in these other teachings, things that were warned against. It's the same thing that happened with Israel that still happens today. It happens to us. This was started by the Romans. They celebrated Lupercalia, and they had a great tradition. It says, the men sacrificed a goat and a dog, and then whipped women with the hides of the animals they had just slain. Then they would be matched with these women and would be a couple for the next 3 days. It was later on that Emperor Claudius II executed two men on different years, but they're both named Valentine, and their martyrdom was honored by the church with the celebration of St. Valentine's Day. So does it change what God commands? Clearly. Does it bring in false religions or traditions? Yes, it does. That might have been an easy one. So that was February. We're going through the year here quickly. What about this one? St. Patrick's Day. See, some of these start to get a little bit more, well, you know, I don't mind hanging out on a St. Patrick's Day party or that kind of thing. And we should look at these things before they come up, right? And that's kind of why I'm talking about these holidays now. There's not necessarily a holiday this month that I can think of. Actually, there we'll get to one, but it's good to know what is right and wrong before you're invited to the party, before you're going out to eat for this day or whatever day it is. Does it fall within what God would say is acceptable? We should look at these things before we do them. And this one too, is it religious? Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, so there's something religious there. There's a leprechaun. Not sure what that's all about, right? That's certainly something going on there. I'll just read a little, again, Google quickly, history.com. It says St. Patrick's Day, it celebrates the Irish, and that's what most people would say today. In fact, the first St. Patrick's Day parade was in the United States. So St. Patrick lived during the 5th century. He's the patron saint of Ireland and its national apostle. He was born in Britain. He was kidnapped and brought to Ireland as a slave at the age of 16. He later escaped but returned to Ireland and was credited with bringing Christianity to its people. Perhaps the most well-known legend of St. Patrick was that he explained the Holy Trinity using the three leaves of the native Irish clover, or the shamrock. It says one icon of the Irish holiday is the leprechaun. The original Irish name for these figures has got a name for them. They were in folklore. But belief is in leprechauns is probably stems from Celtic beliefs and fairies, tiny men and women who could use their magical powers to serve good or evil. So we have to be careful, right, and ask that question as these days come up. Does it change what God commands? And does it bring in false religious teachings or traditions? And I'll let you answer some of these for yourself. Here's another one. It's popular in Arizona. I don't even know if our Colorado friends know what this is. Cinco de Mayo. What about that? Comes up. It's a good time. Well, just look it up. What's going on there? So again, from history.com, it says Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. Instead, it commemorates a single battle Cinco de Mayo is a holiday that celebrates the date of the Mexican Army's May 5th, 1862 victory over France. It's a relatively minor holiday in Mexico, but in the United States, Cinco de Mayo has evolved into a commemoration of Mexican culture and heritage, particularly in areas with large Mexican-American populations. So it's a memorial, right? And then there's a party along with it that's kind of evolved in the United States. But does it change what God commands? Does it bring false religious teachings? Right? You can see how some of these might be more acceptable or be acceptable while others are not. How about this one? This is actually the next holiday coming up. Actually, it's on, what is this? I got to look for myself or I'll be in big trouble. Yeah, it's on the 9th. Mother's Day. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 1. This is actually referring to a commandment. Ephesians 6, verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." So we even have some precedents here, right? Some direction to honor our father and mother. I'll say that there are many, many hundreds actually of religious holidays honoring mothers throughout the world. And some of those are Mother Earth, and there's other teachings. So it's important to look at what we're doing, right? What's happening here? So looking that up as well, on history.com, it says, "The American incarnation of Mother's Day was created by Anna Jarvis in 1908 and became an official U.S. holiday in 1914. It says that she conceived the idea of Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for their children. And she started a massive campaign to have it made an official holiday. And her persistence paid off, and President Woodrow Wilson signed the measure establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day." Something interesting about that is Ann Jarvis, after Mother's Day became a big holiday, and she actually ended up trying to get it removed as a holiday because of the commercialization that happened with it. So an interesting story there. My point is, we got to go back to look at, does it change what God commands? Does it change what God commands? Say no. Does it bring in false religious teachings or traditions? No. And in fact, it's something that's been created in the United States that is a way of honoring, memorializing certain people. And it's our mothers, which we are given scripture that we should do. How about these two? Memorial Day and 4th of July. A couple days that come up. Are they religious? You might be thankful, right, for our country, for the great country God has given us. There's a memorial, right, for people who died serving the country. So let's just look at a quick history of these two. For Memorial Day in 1868, General John Logan, he issued a decree that May 30th should become the nationwide day of commemoration for the 620,000 soldiers killed in the Civil War. And that's where this started. We had a horrible event, and it was to remember what had happened. It wasn't until America's entry into World War I, that the tradition was expanded to include those killed in all wars. And Memorial Day was not officially recognized nationwide until in the 1970s. July 4th, right, our Declaration of Independence in the United States, commemorating that. These are days remembering an event, right? Something that had happened in a specific country. It could be giving thanks to God, but we need to go back and ask, does it change what God commands, or does it bring those false religious teachings? Is it telling us to do something else than follow God? And memorials are appropriate. You know, Jesus Christ in his own words in John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Speaking of his own sacrifice. We do not worship on these days. They're days of remembrance. They're days of thanking God potentially for what has been done in a certain situation or place. Days that we have. But you still have to apply those questions when these days come up, when any of these days come up. All right, we're quickly going to go through a couple more. I don't even know what to say about this. Halloween, it's hard to believe that any Christian can keep this day in my mind. Let's turn over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. It gives a warning about some things that are involved in this day. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, and the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, all things that are associated with this holiday, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. It's a way of celebrating that it's unacceptable to God. I think you ask those two questions. Does it change what God commands? Or does it bring in false religious teachings or traditions? Simple, right, on that one. Quickly. About this. Oktoberfest. I actually didn't even know what this was about until a couple days ago. Seemed like a good time. So I looked it up. What is this about? I mean, can I go? Drinking beer, yeah. So on October 12th, 1810, the Bavarian Crown Prince Louis marries Princess Teresa, and they have this giant festival. After their wedding, they decided to repeat these festivities the next year. So it was like celebrating their wedding. And it was in Germany, and it just kept going. And so now it's a tradition. And it's really looking at Germans, and a lot of beers being drank, and fun. So go back, when this comes up, Oktoberfest, does it change what God commands? Does it bring false religious teachings or traditions? And you can look into all these more on your own. You know, there are some things to be careful about. I'll read from Ephesians 5, verse 17, with any holiday. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's warnings here, right? With any of these festivals, celebrations, holidays, there's things that are inappropriate, even if the holiday itself is non-religious or a memorial, right? Here's another one, Thanksgiving. Is this a religious holiday? Well, the picture, they're praying around a table, right? You have a family, they're praying, they're thanking God. That's Thanksgiving. I'll read this. This actually came from UCG.org. It says, Thanksgiving, it's a national holiday in the United States. It's a day that recognizes a day when the colonists had a feast with the Native Americans. And they gave thanks for what they had, for this country they were in. And then for more than two centuries, it was celebrated on different days within the states. And in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each November. Again, looking back, comparing to what we've already heard, does it change what God commands? Does it say to do something different than the holy days? Does it bring something false into this situation? I think we can all come to say that Thanksgiving is appropriate. It's a memorial for what has happened to this country, what God has done for this country and for all those who live in this country. Psalms 147, verse 7, I'll just read it for sake of time here. It says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Give thanks for what you have. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. Saying thanks. That's a song, a psalm saying thank you for what God has done. We'll do one more here. I put this at the end and for a reason. At my work, when everybody's requesting time off, there's always this big argument. Is New Year's at the end of the 1 year or at the beginning of the next year? It matters with the holiday rotation and everything, but there's always a fight about it. It's important to know what these days are. And this is an example. And if you just Google it, it says the Romans derived the name for the month of January from their goddess Janus, who had two faces, one looking forward and one looking backwards. And it was over the solstice. It was the solstice. It was looking forward to when the sun would come back, right, on the world, and summer would be coming and spring. It says in early medieval times, New Year's Day was observed on December 25th. That's interesting. William the Conqueror decreed that the year begin on January 1st. So there's this dispute. It went back and forth. Was New Year's on the 25th? Was it on January 1st? And it was finally settled that New Year's would be on the 1st, and Christmas, was established on the 25th. They're both celebrating the solstice, and it's important to look at those things as these holidays come up. So ask yourself the question, right? When you're invited to the party, does it change what God commands, and does it bring false religious teachings or traditions? It's important to ask yourself that. Now, looking forward and making goals is not a problem, right? People do that at New Year's, but what are we celebrating if we go to a New Year's party? Why is the party on that day? Things to ask. Having a party, a celebration, a holiday can be acceptable to God, right? Jesus Christ made wine at a party, at a wedding party. I'm going to turn to Ecclesiastes for a couple of scriptures that we'll finish up with. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 12. It says, I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. So he's saying it's good to celebrate. It's good to enjoy things. We have celebrations, traditions, customs, holidays, right? There's a never-ending list. But most important is, what does God say about these customs? Does he want us to worship him however we see fit? I think we answered that today. The Bible clearly tells us that God expects Christians to worship him on specific days at specific times, his holy days, and the Sabbath. We're here today. And we have the example of Jesus Christ, in whose footsteps we are to follow, right? It says, John 2:6 says, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. But just proclaiming that something is harmless or unimportant, it does not make it that way, right? Remember what happened to Israel as that example, right? When they went into this new land, it was the fun things that got them in trouble. So no matter what our tradition is or what our rationalization is, we need to look at the Bible and ask ourselves, what does God say about it, right? And what's happening in this holiday or this celebration? And does it fall within God's ways? And we have a choice. And the choices we make are very important. You saw what happened with Jeroboam. It destroyed the country at that time. And we can take great comfort in the days that we do have, that God has given us, right? The holy day plan, it means so much and it's so great. We're so blessed to have those days, to understand that he has a plan for us and for this world that are laid out in those holy days, something none of the other holidays can even come close to doing. So is it okay to celebrate the other days? I'd say some yes and some no. But it's up to each of us to look at these days, these traditions, and apply the word of God. So look into these things before you go to the party. What's happening? Think about it. If you're still in Ecclesiastes, I'd like to go to Ecclesiastes 12 to finish up. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. After all has been said, this is what you do. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.